Today's reading is from John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, and that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, We see, your guilt remains. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please, Lord, this morning as we have sung, would you open the eyes of our hearts that we would see Jesus, and would you change us? Amen. A couple of years ago, I bought Gabby, my wife, some biscuit spread as part of her Christmas present. You know, the lotus paste biscuits? They've turned into a spread. It's pretty amazing. It's incredible on toast in the morning. Or you can just grab a spoon if you want and dig in. It is like catnip for grown-ups. The problem was, when it came to wrapping it up, I couldn't find it anywhere. I'd hidden it in my study so Gabby wouldn't see it. But when the time came, I couldn't find it. I searched high and I searched low, looked everywhere, turned the house upside down, turned my study upside down, couldn't see it anywhere. No joy. Christmas Day came and went, and poor Gabby had to go without her precious biscuit spread Christmas Day morning. There weren't tears, but we came close to it. It wasn't until a few weeks later, as I was looking for a book on my shelves, suddenly there it is. Proudly sat on top of a pile of books that I had just sat on my shelves. I must have looked at it every day for weeks. As you walk straight in, it's right there in front of you. I don't know how I missed it, but I couldn't see it. Right in front of my eyes, day after day, I missed it. I wonder if you've ever done anything as foolish. This morning we're thinking about sight and we're thinking about blindness. We're in this section in John's Gospel, John's eyewitness statement of who Jesus is, chapters 5 to 10, all about the work that Jesus came to do. We're looking at chapters 7 and 8, 9, and we've been thinking about what will it take for people to become Christians? What would it take for them to come and believe in Jesus? If he's come to do this great work of giving life, how will people ever come to accept it? We just had an amazing miracle read for us. Jesus describes his work right there at the end. Chapter 9, verse 39. We're on page 1080. Do open your Bibles if you've closed them. Chapter 9, verse 39. Jesus says, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. That is Jesus' snapshot of what he came to do. This is the lens that we look through as we look at John 9, and we're going to frame it in those two groups. Jesus says, I've come that those who are blind may see, and those who see may become blind. First of all, the miracle, the blind man sees. Chapter 9, verse 1, as he passes by, Jesus sees a man born blind from birth. Here is a man who has known suffering, right? There was no social care back in those days, no eye hospitals, blind from birth. Later on we read, he begged to survive. He was a beggar. And in so many ways, his life would have been shaped by his disability. He's not known in the neighborhood as the guy with the warm smile on his face when he walks past and sees you. He's known as the village beggar. He is mocked. He is an outcast. He is the sinner. Maybe parents would whisper to their children as they walk past, Watch out for him. He's an evil man. He's not given a name here. He's just the blind man. We don't know why he was blind, but we do know that it is not because of a particular sin in his life or his family's life. That is what Jesus' disciples assume, and that is actually what many assume about him. some form of karma, it's superstition. That is their question in verse 2. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Sometimes suffering is caused by sin, isn't it? Think of the effects of a life marked by anger. Think of greed, never satisfied, relational wreckage left behind. Many, many examples I'm sure that you can think of times when suffering is brought directly because we've rejected God's way. Sometimes suffering is caused by sin, but it is not always. I've known a few people who have felt so crushed because they have been told the reason they are unwell, or the reason they aren't being healed, or things aren't getting better, is because there is some secret, unconfessed sin in their lives. Jesus says that is not always true. Verse 3, it wasn't because this man's parents were awful sinners or that he was an awful sinner, but it was that the works of God might be displayed in him. You and I don't know everything. We don't have that privilege. We are not the maker of heaven and earth. But we do know that God works in all things, in good and bad, for our joy and for his glory. We don't always see it, but one day we will. This man, born blind from birth, has such a happy ending, doesn't he? We see Jesus gives this man sight. There is no eye hospital, no ophthalmologist involved, no glasses, no laser treatment. Jesus spits on the ground. He makes mud, anoints the man's eyes, tells him to go wash, and end of verse 7, he comes back seeing. Can you imagine what that must have been like? When all you've known your entire life is darkness, and then suddenly light. Your vision filled with colour and beauty and wonder. Jesus came that those who are blind may see. It is a physical miracle with real visible changes. Verse 8, he used to sit and beg. Verse 13, he's the man who had formerly been blind. His eyes are opened, he receives his sight. Over and over he says, I washed, I received my sight. Verse 11, verse 15, I washed, I see. Verse 25, one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. This man's life is utterly transformed by Jesus. But there is far more going on here than this man just receiving physical sight. It's a visual aid. It's a sign. It points to something deeper going on. It helps us to perceive that he also receives his spiritual sight. So the story opens with a man, a blind man, who doesn't see and who doesn't understand. And we end with a man who sees, with open eyes, who worships Jesus. As we go through the story, we see he is on a journey. He starts off in verse 11, calling Jesus a man. Then verse 17, he comes on and calls Jesus a prophet. Then verse 33, he says he must be from God. And we end up, verse 38, he says, Lord, I believe, and he worships Jesus. Goes from blind to sight. Now, we heard Jesus say this last week. He says it again, verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He came that his goodness and his kindness might shine for all to see. He came that those who are blind may see. How does that happen? Well, two things, both different sides of the same coin. Firstly, Jesus gives sight as we look at the evidence. Did you see that? This man doesn't take a blind leap of faith, does he? As he is forced to draw conclusions by those around him, the man examines the evidence and sees where it leads him. Have a look at verse 32. He is not an idiot, I think it's safe to say. He knows no human being could do this miracle. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. No human can do this, but he knows that it's happened. He was blind, and now he sees. He has the evidence before his eyes. The only rational, logical explanation for him is that this is the work of God. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean taking a step in the dark. It is following the evidence. Maybe you're here this morning and you were intrigued. Maybe you became a Christian years ago because of someone else's evidence, someone else's testimony to the work of God in their lives. Imagine now, 2,000 years on, how many lives have been turned upside down by this man's testimony. It's wonderfully simple. I came, I washed, I see. A great model for us to follow. He was blind and received sight. But if you are a Christian here this morning, we can say something even greater. I've been given eternal life. Hallelujah. Now try talking to someone this week. Say, let me tell you the most incredible thing that has happened to me. I was blind. I went to Jesus. And now I see. I was washed and he made me clean. Jesus gives sight as we look at the evidence. John's gospel that we're looking at, eyewitness evidence to who Jesus is, what he came to do. We run short courses throughout the year looking at this evidence. Come and speak to me or Larry or someone else if you want to find out more. Jesus came that the blind may see. Jesus gives sight through as people engage with the evidence. He gives sight as people have a miracle done to them. He doesn't say much in this chapter, does he, Jesus? In fact, he's absent for 27 verses of it. But Jesus is still the main actor. Did you notice the man born blind wasn't looking for Jesus? He's not even crying out for help or for mercy. 9 verse 1, it is as Jesus passes by, he sees this man. He sees his plight. He sees what he needs. He goes to him. Or verse 12, they can't find Jesus. They don't know where he is anymore. But verse 35, Jesus finds the blind man. Isn't that wonderfully assuring? He can find you. He has compassion. He knows our need, and he can find every single one of his people. At the end of the story, the man knows it was Jesus. It was all Jesus. It was a wonderful miracle that Jesus did for him. And that is our prayer for Declan, isn't it? That the Lord would open Declan's eyes, give him sight from his earliest days. It's something that only God does. Throughout the Bible, only God is the one who gives sight. It's the miracle that is recorded in each of the Gospels. It's the one that Jesus does most often. Jesus' disciples are sent out. They heal diseases. They cast out demons, but they never open blind eyes. Because that is a work of God. And Jesus has to do the work of God. Verse 4, because he is sent to work while it is day. He is sent to give life, isn't he? This passage is full of echoes of the cross. It goes on, "We must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming." Night is a picture of the time of the cross, of the darkness of Jesus' death that John uses as he writes his gospel. I think that is what is going on with the mud and with the washing. Lots of different theories, but it is repeated so many times in this account. John is drawing our attention to this. He puts mud on his eyes, he washes his eyes, and he sees. Later on in chapter 13, Jesus is going to say, as night falls, as the hour of the cross comes, Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Jesus came that the blind may see. That is only achieved as we are washed clean. Like the mud on the blind man's eyes that needs to be washed away, we need to be made clean. We need our sin to be washed away. Jesus washes us clean by going through night, by his blood that he sheds on the cross. Jesus came that those who are blind may see. It is an amazing miracle. It is a wonderful gift. It is full of hope and light and life. Secondly, Jesus came that those who see may be blind. Imagine, if you will, your future self. For some of us, this won't be so difficult. For those of us who are younger, or those who are younger, it will be harder. But a few years down the line, you've had a good life. But the older you get, your eyesight starts to get worse and worse. Glasses first, then thicker glasses, maybe laser treatment, but then one day cataracts come and there's nothing that can be done. And perhaps one day your doctor sits you down and said, "It is time for you to give up driving. Your eyesight just isn't good enough anymore." That would be sad, wouldn't it? That would be hard. I'm sure we've known people who've had that happen. Now imagine that you were born blind. That would be worse, wouldn't it? Sure, you can't drive, but even worse than that, you've never seen the sunrise over the sea. Or you never got the joy of seeing someone that you love break into a smile. Imagine now, even worse, you are blind, but at the same time, you are utterly convinced that you can see. You can't see it, but whenever you offer to make a friend a cup of tea, they wince. At birthday parties, you are banned from playing pin the tail on the donkey. You are just a liability. If you ever got behind the wheel of a car, you might start off confidently, but you can be certain that it will literally end in a car crash. The Pharisees here think they can see. They are utterly confident that they know what's going on, but in reality, they are utterly blind. And that is a very, very dangerous thing. There are a few reactions to that miracle that Jesus does, aren't there? Have a look down at verse 9. Some of the neighbors who know this man, who've seen what has happened, they say it's him. They know this man. They've seen him every day, maybe every week. Some of them would have grown up with him. Of course they recognize him. The blind man can now see. Some don't believe that it is the same person. They say, no, it's someone like him. Despite his protestations, "I am the man. It is me. Come on." I guess you can have a bit of sympathy for that. You see someone in a different context, you don't recognize them. So, verse 13, they bring the man to the religious experts. They will know what to do. They're the guys who see. They're the experts. They've got all the right answers. They understand these sorts of things. They can investigate. They can tell us what to think. And so their investigation begins, but it's all done under a dark cloud of suspicion. It's biased against Jesus and against the blind man. It is a show trial by a rigged court with a predetermined outcome. They tell us what that is in verse 24. Give glory to God, they say. We know this man is a sinner. That is the right answer that they are looking for. The charge brought against Jesus yet again is there in verse 14. It's a Sabbath day. Jesus has done the same error again as he did back in chapter 5, healing someone, giving life on the Sabbath, broken the Sunday trading laws yet again. And they make a show of investigating. They call their witnesses. First of all, the man who had been formerly blind, and then his parents. But again, verse 22, they reached their verdict before they started investigating. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. This is a powerful court. This is witness intimidation. Being put out of the synagogue wasn't just being allowed to leave church before the sermon finished. It is like losing your job, losing your friends, losing your family, all in one go. It is life over. This is a predetermined verdict that they want. Because they claim to know, they claim to see, they claim transparency and clarity and openness. But verse 16, they try to discredit the evidence. He's not from God. How can a sinner do such signs? Verse 19, they cry fraud. He wasn't really born blind. Verse 21, they silence the witnesses. Verse 34, they persecute. And through it all, the man who was born blind keeps saying, I can see. Verse 15, I can see. Verse 25, I was blind, but now I see. I can see. Verse 32. They claim to know. They claim to know where Jesus is from. They claim to know that Jesus is a sinner. They claim to know that God couldn't possibly and wouldn't ever listen to Jesus. They think they can see, but they are so blind. Determined to reject Jesus. Last week they resorted to racism, as they called him a Samaritan and went to stone him. This week they fall back on another form of discrimination. Prejudice against the disabled. Verse 34, they say something to the man that Jesus has already established isn't true. They say to the man who now sees, you were born in utter sin, and you would teach us. They say, we know you've got nothing to say because you're a sinner and you're blind because you're a sinner. And they cast him out. Jesus came that those who see may be blind. Look down at verse 40. Their persistent claim, we can see. Are we also blind? But Jesus says that only adds to the weight of their guilt. Jesus came that the blind may see, and that those who see may be blind. As we come towards a close, a couple of final implications for us. We need to know that the world around us isn't neutral when it comes to Jesus. The world says we see. The world says we know. But it is blind to Jesus and the gospel. It is blind to his lordship and his goodness. Sometimes that means that being a Christian will involve speaking about Jesus in a very dark and a hostile environment. And actually, we see the same tactics the Pharisees used still in play today. They discredit the goodness of Jesus. When people don't like what he clearly says in his word, they say Jesus got it wrong. He's a sinner. This book was written by people who made mistakes. They say this isn't from God because we know God wouldn't say this. We see it in the world around us, but we also see it in the church across the world. The world discredits the evidence. We know the resurrection isn't true because there is no God and dead people don't rise. It is a blind, circular argument that cannot see the error missing in, or the error in its logic. We need to know that this world isn't neutral. Jesus says it is a world that is blind and needs light. And we also need to know that we may lose the world, but if you have Jesus, you see properly, and you have precious eternal life. You might be laughed at for being a Christian. You might be mocked and called names, you small-minded, ignorant Christian. Now, the man is thrown out of the synagogue because he says, Jesus is my Lord. Because he received his sight. Because he saw his Saviour and he lived. You might lose your job, your friends, family. We might even be sent to prison. But that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't true. Jesus is the one who gives sight and life. And he says, take courage. I've overcome the world. Secondly, and briefly, did you notice that everyone in this story is blind? The man is born blind. The parents are blinded by pressure. By the end, the Pharisees are shown to be absolutely, utterly blind. That is because spiritual blindness is our natural state. Blind to the realities of God, blind to our sin, blind to Jesus Christ. And we need to be given sight. But the message of John 9 is that Jesus Christ is the light of the world who came to give sight to the blind. He finds people out. He can make the darkest eyes see. He can wash the foulest clean. So we don't lose heart for those around us either. Because Jesus can give sight. And in a dark world, we don't grow proud. We know that we follow Jesus only because he has been merciful, only because he has opened our eyes. And we follow the man who was blind to Jesus. And in verse 38, we say with him, Lord, I believe. And we worship him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the light of the world. Thank you that you came to give those who are blind sight. We ask that you would humble us and fill us again with confidence at your mighty saving power. And would you help us to see what it means to live in the light of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.